I know not what course others may take. But as for me, give me liberty! Liberty!
Yes, it's Give Me Liberty, the segment where we get to meet our neighbors here in Liberty as Radio Catskill prepares to move to Liberty. And I'm talking a little more quietly than usual because I'm here in the Liberty Library, and I'm here with the library director. It's Marjorie Linko. Thank you so much for having me over.
Great. Thank you for coming.
So I wanted to sit down and have a conversation, but I figured we'd take a look around the library first so people can get to know it.
Terrific. So I'll walk you around here a little bit. Right on our main floor, we obviously, you see, we change the way we enter the library, coming straight through and put in this great circulation desk so that we now have views of the whole building as well as the front door here.
Right, when you come in, and I guess we should point out that this was all recently redesigned, so even if people are familiar with the library just a few years ago, they might not be familiar with what it is now.
Yes. We moved back in May of 2020, right after COVID started, so that was a challenge. And we entered this space, which is now double the size of what it used to be. So you really should come in if you haven't had a chance to. This is our new seating area in here. It also holds all of our media. A good spot to sit and browse. Has beautiful light. We will walk over here. This is one of the two programming spaces that we added. This is the smaller one. We call it a conference room in here. People can meet in here for a variety of things. Members of the community that need a smaller space, private space, can also book this room for use. Right now, our knitters group usually meets in here. We have tutoring, and an ESL class that's going on right now. It also holds our local history collection in the back. We also added two new bathrooms and renovated our existing bathroom. Do you want to see the bathroom?
I can see it. There you go. It's accessible.
Yes.
Oh, we're taking an elevator.
Elevator, yes. Do you want to take a ride?
Sure.
You're not elevator phobic, are you?
If the elevator's up to it, I am.
Well, we'll see. We'll make for a very interesting interview if the elevator dies on us, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a new show. We'll put that in prime time. Stuck in the elevator.
It would be like it would get a lot of hits for this one. This is our bigger programming space in here.
Wow.
Yeah. This also has a bathroom handy right off of it. We have a fully functioning AV system, which I'll show you on a touchpad. It's kind of cool. We've been using this to do hybrid movies, not only movies, but Zoom calls. Anything that requires a screen and lots of connections, it has wireless connectivity that we can hook up whatever we need to do for the day. Let me just show you a screen.
You call it a programming space, and just for the listener, I think what you might want to picture is a classroom. It's like a multi-use classroom, and Marge just pushed a few buttons on the side of the wall, and a screen literally emerged from the ceiling.
Awesome. So you can see there's codes on here, so you could just hook up your device with the room name, whatever, and you can present from wherever you are.
So it's like all integrated into the room, so you're ready to go.
Speakers on the top, and we have had community groups using this. We've hosted a couple of hybrid meetings for the Garden Club, and we worked with the Liberty Museum last year to have their annual poetry festival here so that they could take advantage of the hybrid capabilities with the Zoom connectivity and all of that. So
You've got translucent glass panels framed by dark wood, or what looks like dark wood, almost like a Japanese a sliding door style.
They all go all the way back into that wall, like a pocket door.
Pretty cool. And there's more library over here. There's more books. I mean, we're upstairs, but there's I didn't realize this isn't classrooms or anything else. This is more library.
Yeah. So this is the main children's room here. This is where we do all of our story times or any readings right here on the floor. We have little mats for kids too. Computer area over here. We separate out this space to be for like the younger kids. Nice seating areas and all of that.
Great.
And I guess we'll take the stairs back up. You're in the original building right now.
I didn't realize we went down. I thought we took the elevator up.
So we could take the elevator up. I didn't show you the up part, but I could just probably give you a pointing tour to save time of the up.
We're basically where we started here by the front desk and the front door, and you can pretty much see into every place that the building goes right from here.
Yep. We have really good sight lines everywhere, even downstairs into the children's room and upstairs. But it was great to fully put those glass walls up. Now we have a, we can maintain the sound control and the heating a little bit better too. It used to be open, so it was hard to keep the sound kind of level.
All told, how much was this project in terms of both time and money?
We passed a bond vote in 2016 for $1.9 million, and we also got grants and other fundings. I didn't look that number up, but it came in right under $3 million, right around there, just a round number, with the bulk of that being from the bond.
And the planning started on it in about 2016?
Oh, the planning's been going on forever. I've been here 23 years, and the planning, I think, started back then. So if you've ever been involved in any municipal project like that, or WJFF is going through that now, you know.
Community organization trying to move into a new building, it does take time.
Yeah. We had a lot of, you know, starts and stops through, you know, kind of throughout the time. But did you want to sit down? This is my office.
How would you like to?
Sorry, it doesn't matter. Hold on. Just sit over here.
I think the fact that it took so long to plan and took so much investment to make it happen, and you were successful in doing that and creating a space that does so much and does so much more, mm-hmm. is a testament to what is obvious to you and is painfully not obvious to everyone else, which is the crucial importance of libraries in a community.
Yeah, no, absolutely true, yeah. Lots of people don't know, you know, if they know your librarian, they kind of say, oh, do people still read books? And yes, that is true. But the core of our libraries have evolved over the years, as many services do. And, you know, today it's really a lot about programming. It's a lot about bringing communities together. We do, you know, a whole lot for all ages. I think our children's programs are, you know, more noted, but also all the way up to, you know, adult ages. I probably have 30 people in a book club, and we have seniors that come for monthly lectures and, you know, even just casual social groups for knitting and crocheting and, you know, things like that all along the ways, and tutoring and, you know, ESL classes, those types of things.
Yeah, that's part of it is at all stages of life, all ages, you're helping with people's education and continuing education.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. And socialization, so bringing them back, especially after COVID, we hear a lot of people that are so grateful, you know, to have a chance to get out again and to, you know, meet up with people in a safe way. So, yeah.
It's my first time in this new building, you know, because, again, you opened up just in the midst of COVID. Now, we talked a number of times during that time on the radio because you really kept things going. I mean, everybody did what they could, but really, what's the story of the last couple of years been like apart from opening a new facility?
Yeah, you know, it's all been, for us, it's been about hybrid things, about keeping, you know, programming active for people that want to stay home online, and also people that really hate Zoom, they never want to Zoom again, and that they wanted to get in. So as soon as we found a safe way to do that and offer it, you know, both ways, that's, you know, what it's been about, is coming up with, you know, Zoom links and finding out different seating arrangements. And, you know, we wouldn't have been able to do that without this facility, certainly. And also, you know, allowing the community to use it when they need to, too, and that type of thing. Again, that's, you know, what we're here for, those partnerships.
You're RCLS, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you want to just explain, folks, about the Roundabout Catskill Library System, that you're part of, that you're here in this community pulling the community together, and yet you're part of a bigger network of libraries as well.
Sure, yeah. The Ramapo Catskill Library System, or known as RCLS, its headquarters are in Middletown, and they help provide a lot of services, our connectivity through all of our electronic databases that allow people to, you know, look up items that they want from their home and have them delivered here, you know, honestly, 24/7. There's apps now for that. You can go look up on any of your app devices for, it's called RCLS Gateway, and that's the access point if you want to put an app on your phone or your tablet or wherever, and you can just, instead of shopping Amazon, you can shop, you know, through that system first. So whatever is not available in our library, you can get through one of the 47 member libraries through that way. And they also do the delivery route, so you'll see their vans going around town, you know, delivery route and host of other services.
Are we delivering to people?
Oh, no. Delivering
to libraries, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we just share things amongst the libraries. But we do have a homebound delivery service. That's not through RCLS, but that's through my county librarians as well. We have a county library group that we call SUPLA, and we had monies set aside for that, again, grant monies for that to provide mailing if people need things mailed to their home. So if anybody's interested in that, they should talk to their local library about how to go ahead and get that set up.
When you're working outside of the community or even the people in other communities in Sullivan County that might not be familiar with Liberty, what is it that you want them to know that they might not realize?
Oh, boy, I don't know. There's a lot of really smart and loving people in Liberty. You know, I mean, you might not realize that. It's certainly a depressed area. You'll see, like with other towns that are struggling hard to keep a main street going, you'll see some buildings that are vacant, and it might not always look like it's a thriving town. But, you know, the people here are very intelligent, and they care a whole lot about the community. They care a whole lot about the town. They care about nature. You can see that in our parks and the beautiful flowers. And there is a sense of cooperation. We just had a big Easter event that we collaborated on. It starts at the library at 10. It goes to the Parks and Rec field next door at 11. And then at noon, the Elks Club hosts a lunch. So, you know, there's that spirit of, you know, a small town kind of a collaboration. And it's also just very, very diverse and very fun. You know, on any given day, it's not very busy here now on a snow day, but you can see just a whole host of a variety of people from all walks of life, and that they care about each other.
Are there challenges in trying to reach everybody in the community and making sure everybody's served or no? Maybe this is...
I suppose from the point of view of let's just take the Spanish-speaking population that's here.
Yeah.
That's a difficult, and again, I'm speaking from the library only, that's a difficult population to draw in often because I've learned that it's not in their culture to have a public library and that there's not always an understanding that they can really come in and get free books through that. So
I thought you were going to say that it was a language thing, but you're saying the challenge there is not a language barrier. There's a cultural barrier.
Both. Yeah, it is both. I at the moment don't have a full-time Spanish speaking person here. We rely a whole lot on technology to, you know, Google Translate things at the desk in order to, you know, get back and forth across with things. The other thing I want to say that I think we're blessed with is we've have some really incredible teenagers that want to come here and volunteer and work here. And, you know, I had 7 volunteers at the event. We probably had 150 people here on Saturday just through this Easter thing that's on my mind. But, you know, 2 of them were bilingual. So having those people here to help, you know, we did have a few people come at the door. But, you know, again, through the use of technology, we make sure everything is translated and all that. But really the best way to get people in the door is that they have someone trusted saying come. And we've done some outreach events like that through Penny Medina at the school. She'll bring kids down, bring parents in and say, come and visit the library and have a tour and like a sign up night and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I mean by challenges of like, you know, there's still work to do, but it's, you know, it's good to learn how you're doing that work. And along those lines, and again, you're here in the heart of this village and this community. I mean, what do you see as next steps for Liberty? What are other things that need to be done here? What's the direction that needs to be gone in?
Well, that's a tough one. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I would need a lot more time to think on that. And I'm sure you've had some other people at the town level that are more in tune with that. You know, I mean, it's a matter of getting more people in here and generating. I know the taxes are an issue. I don't know if you've heard that, but, you know, generating kind of like a larger people base, you know, for starters.
Right. You know, this used to be a resort town. You know, there was with ringed by resorts, and you hear stories of how many different types of businesses were here and how the streets were flooded with people. I grew up in Sullivan County with parents that went to Liberty, and for my whole life, people have been looking for that to come back.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
When is it going to come back, you know?
Absolutely.
But it's like, I've always been like, well, it's not going to come back. When I got to a certain age, I was like, that's not going to come back, and we should all be talking about what's going to happen next, you know?
What's happening now? I mean, honestly, let's just embrace where we are now and not, I mean, I think that those days were golden days, and in any area where you've had it, it's hard not to look back with the, you know, memories of that. And I've been here since 1999, so I've been here 23 years. But, you know, I joke with people, I'll never be a local until I've lived here 200. So You know, but yeah, absolutely. The you know, just the mourning of the days gone by when you used to have Katz's Bakery and, you know, even now we have Floyd and Bobo's Bakery and it's pretty good and it's great, you know, and they have such, they're just such community minded people that, you know, I think for me, that's what I really love about Liberty is that, you know, it's big enough where everybody doesn't really know your name, but it's small enough where they can if you want them to, you know? So it's a little bit of like anything goes, but but you can still have, you know, somewhat of an intimate connection if you want that.
Well, that's a good sale for people that are at various levels of, you know, social anxiety or whatever. Yeah, you can pick the level of community engagement that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, yeah.
Well, I like that idea of it being like, you know, yeah, what's happening now? Because I think like what's happening now is the future. And like, and again, you say like people might look at certain storefronts, or I have friends that stayed in the area, I have friends that went to the city. And sometimes the friends that went to the city come back and be like, oh, well, Liberty, what's going on there? Roscoe, what's going on there? I'm like, there's been a lot. There's like the town, Liberty's alive. Main Street's alive. I've seen a lot of changes in just the last 10 years.
You don't live it if you're only just looking quick at one drive-through. You'll see, you know, like you could have that negative impression of it, but certainly there has been tons of things going on, you know, throughout the years. But one of the things, and I'm glad you're doing this segment, I'll tell you a funny story. This is actually an area for your organization to grow. One of the areas that I always wanted to do for Liberty was to create a way that we could have interviews memorialized from people who lived here a long, long time ago. So, you know, because I get together with a lot of people and, you know, I have 10 people sitting around and suddenly the stories will start coming up of when I worked in a hotel and who I used to see and, you know, who I used to know. Now, these people themselves are just ordinary citizens. They grew up and, you know, lived their lives. They were teachers, whatever. But, you know, they're not in themselves famous, but they have just such a great database in their minds of what Liberty was like that I would love to have those interviews kind of preserved, you know, memories of the hotels or, you know, memories of just being in Liberty on a 4th of July parade in 1940 or, you know, whatever happened. It may not be like anything tremendously historic, but just some of those, you know, talks that I hear that happen so spontaneously, I think, oh, I wish I was recording this.
And just like some people might save some of the signs and memorabilia from the hotel era.
Stories, sort of like a story corps, but for Liberty, you know, you'd call it Lives of Liberty.
Okay, well, that's why I'm asking these questions about what else needs to be done, because we're coming. So we got to
That would be great. If we had that whole thing, a Lives of Liberty, you know, there'd be like real, it would be a lot of fun. And
I dig it.
Yeah. You can start with people here that I already know have great stories.
So you just want to remind folks where they can get more information if they're interested in the library here in Liberty.
Sure. Well, you could stop by. We're at 189 North Main Street, right in front of the elementary school. Or you could visit our website at libertypubliclibrary.org. Or you could call us at 845-292-6070.
Thanks so much for talking.
Thank you.